Hello out there, welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Today we're wrapping up a series of recognized National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month by learning more about the great work being done by the Cohen Veteran Network. They offer specialized confidential mental health support to post 9/11 veterans, service members, and military families. You never know who might need the help they can provide. It could be you or someone you love. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veteran service members and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together, they make your next mission happen. They love their veterans and families. I say this every week. We love them too. Throughout September, we've been talking about how we can help stop the number of suicides in our veteran community and reduce the stigma associated with this national tragedy. The mission of the Cohen Veterans Network is to get ahead of the mental health challenges before they become chronic or acute. And I'm excited to welcome Claire Lawless, Senior Director of Quality Assurance for the Cohen Veteran Network, and Brandy Salvatore, Case Manager at the Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinic at Alaska Behavioral Health. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm so excited. I know you're in Alaska and you're in D.C., so we're going to have a good time today. Before we get started, though, I'd like each one of you to sort of tell the audience just a little bit about yourself. And Claire, we'll start with you.
Thank you. Well, as you said, my name is Claire Lawless. I am the Senior Director of Quality Assurance at the Cohen Veterans Network. I have been with the network for just about 9 years. I am a social worker by training. And after grad school, I started working for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America as a case manager for their transitions program. And through that, we were establishing and identifying resources for transitioning veterans for anything that they needed all over the country. And it really instilled in me a need to have this type of service. After that, I came over to Cohen when we had just 4 clinics. At this point, we have 22. We're very proud and we continue to expand.
And congratulations.
Thank you. In my time here, we have done so much in terms of growth. But one of my privileges has been to support and oversee our case managers in the network. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Brandy.
Brandy, now I understand your husband's an active duty soldier right now, getting ready to retire. But go and tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Brandy Salvatore. As you mentioned, I'm the case manager up here in beautiful Alaska. It's such a privilege to be here that the Army has brought us here. As you mentioned, my husband is an active duty soldier at the moment, and we're actually getting ready to transition to a veteran family. So getting to kind of experience some of these very similar things that our clients are going through on both realms of things is exciting. I am a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been here at the clinic for about 3 years, a little over 3 years, actually, serving as a case manager, starting as an intern, and just kind of working my way up through the clinic and loving every minute of it.
Well, Brittany, I got to ask you before you get out, are you excited about the next phase of your life, you know, retiring out of the military or something? Are you excited about that?
I am. I've spent 11, 12 years kind of being there and lifting my husband up all the way through his career and all of his exciting things that he's done. And now it's my time to shine. And so now he's there being my support, pushing me through life and giving me that moment to kind of be where I wanted to be.
Well, congratulations. Shine.
Don't you worry.
I got it. She's already shy. Hey, Claire, so for people who aren't familiar with Cohen Veterans Network, I've got to make sure I don't add another word to that. Could you give us the basis of what you do?
Absolutely. So we provide targeted treatment to veterans, active duty service members, and their families using evidence-based practices that are usually treating people for between 3 and 4 months. We do not provide long-term care. Long-term care is great, but it's just not our model. We believe that people can get better in that targeted treatment model with very focused goals. We're treating individual child and adolescent, couples, and family members, as well as offering group therapy for a variety of treatment needs, including anger management, couples treatment, CBT for depression, insomnia, things like that. So we have clinics ranging from as far north as Alaska, as far west as Hawaii, many in Texas, as far south as Florida, all up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and plenty of clinics all in the middle. So we are everywhere and constantly expanding.
Can you come back more than once? So if I come back and I go through the program you have, can I come back a second time?
Absolutely.
Or a third time?
We recognize that folks are oftentimes going to come with a lot of things. So it may be that they have PTSD, but they're also struggling within their marriage. So what we might recommend is let's do some treatment on your PTSD so that you're in a good space so you can start couples therapy and get the most out of it. Oftentimes, folks will start treatment. They'll establish their goals. They'll meet those. And then sometimes they might need, a little tune-up. You know, sometimes even our cars, we get a great new engine, but we need that little bit of tune-up every 6 months or so. We do the same thing with treatment. So we have booster sessions, or people can come back in for an entirely new episode of Care at Our Clinics.
Claire, I knew I liked you because you talk with your hands just like me. I like talking with my hands.
I'm Irish. I can't stop.
Hey, Brandy, you're a case manager. What does that entail, and who do you help, and how do you help them?
So case management is really amazing. It is available to everyone that comes through our clinic. And we start as early as, as soon as you pick up that phone and give us a call, case management starts for you. And then, kind of start working through your therapy services, and we're here afterwards as well. And so we see clients from beginning to end, and we spend time really kind of vetting resources. We don't just have a list of resources that are out there and say, here you go, good luck out there. We spend that time talking to the client, getting to know them, understanding what is their priority, because their priority may not be what I think should be first. And so we spend the time, we get to know them, we want to know what they want to do, what they feel comfortable doing, and how much they want us involved. Some people they're just really overwhelmed and exhausted, and all they want is just the link. They just can't sit down and Google, and so sometimes that's all they need, but other times we need to sit down and make these phone calls together and help them through that process. But we also don't give any resources that we haven't personally spoken to first. I'm very much on the warm handoff, the empowerment model. I want to be there to teach you how to be your own case manager and spend that time with you, teaching you how to advocate for yourself. So while I might sit with you and walk you through helping you make that phone call, I won't make the phone call for you. And so we work together and really push to make sure that we're meeting those needs and however it is fit for them. And it's case by case. It's different for everybody.
So what I heard you say is once you maybe give them to somebody else, you always follow back up with them, make sure everything's being taken care of. You just don't throw them out there to let them take care of themselves.
Yeah, I call that resource that I'm planning to give. I make sure it's not a wildly crazy wait list if possible. I make sure their insurance is accepted. I make sure that it's meeting all the little boxes that the client is hoping to meet, checking all those boxes, making sure it's good to go. Then I give it to the client. Then I help the client access that resource. And then I follow up and make sure that they were able to. And if they weren't, we have a conversation of what were the barriers there? Why weren't you able to access that? And if it is a resource issue, I'm calling that resource and saying, hey, the other day you told me, and now we're having this issue. So I'm kind of just as much or as little as they want me involved. Sometimes they really truly just want that link and let me get to it when I get to it. But others, it's, yes, I'm here for it. Let's sit down and talk about it. How can we get there?
Well, I think because your husband is in the military too, you're walking in the same kind of boots and same kind of ground they're walking in. So they have that trust and confidence in you, knowing that, hey, you may have the same kind of issues or the same kind of problems that they're sort of trying to work through right now.
That is so true. It is very much a lot of the resources that I give to people, I've used myself.
Yeah.
My family has utilized. And so I know just how powerful and amazing they are and how much it could be life-changing just to, we showed up to Alaska and, you know, we had all of these, we're here in the dead of winter and we all these expectations and it actually wasn't anything like we expected. It was cold and it was snowy and it was scary driving in the dark. And, you know, we thought we had great snow gear and we didn't. And so it was very overwhelming and very expensive to transition into. And so we were able to connect with the ASYMCA and use the winter gear up and get good winter gear for my own kids. And so kind of having that being able to present it that way, saying, hey, you know what? It's okay to ask for help sometimes because I've used it too. And we're here and that's what they're there for.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I always wanted to go to Alaska and visit, but I never wanted to be assigned there. But I understand a lot of people really love it. So that's okay.
It's incredible. There's something to love in both seasons. I won't say every season because there's only two. It's colder, it's hot. sometimes in both days.
Yeah. Hey, Claire, what's the difference between a case manager and a therapist? Is there a difference?
No.
Absolutely. So our case managers are going to be handling all of those social drivers of health needs, so resource needs. So our therapists are going to be handling your mental health. So you're coming in saying, I have anxiety. People like Brandy are going to be handling possibly some of the reasons and things that are giving you anxiety, such as needing to have secure housing or making sure that you have the right clothing for where you've been assigned to or just moved to. Food assistance, stuff that can really act as a barrier to you getting the most out of your therapy, the case managers are there to address. And the thing that I love so much about each of our clinics is they all have at least one case manager to address these aspects, to prevent and reduce the barriers for someone actually getting great treatment and completing their care in our clinics with our therapists.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you do some research in conjunction with Faceify that showed you how important case management is?
We did. Thank you so much for asking. And especially in this month of suicide prevention, our Face the Fight grant was specifically around suicide prevention in the veteran community. And one element that came out of their study that was not, we weren't expecting, we didn't ask for, we didn't seek it out, was the importance of these case managers in addressing those aspects that the clients are facing that aren't being brought up in therapy. So everything from homelessness to legal assistance to job insecurity, things that actually end up being a higher risk for suicide than any mental health diagnosis. Having our case managers there and available to address those things really allowed people to figure out the things that were causing them this stress, that were causing them anxiety, that were causing them depression, or aggravating their existing mental health systems, and helping them actually get set up for success long term. We see the ability to reduce suicidality significantly increase by having case managers in all of our clinics. And when I, in my role, am looking at post-suicide data, or if there's been an attempt, things like that, I always look to see whether or not our case managers have been involved. And every time, I'm always pleased to see the work that these folks are doing to address those needs and make sure that people can really get the most out of their treatment and really benefit from it.
I think for me personally, I like just sort of getting things off my chest, sort of talking about whatever the issues are. And I think that's another form of therapy. And it makes me feel better. The more I talk about it, the better I feel about those things.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the great thing about our model and how this works is that Brandy is an integral part of the clinical team. She is having conversations with the therapists for the clients that she's working with as well constantly. And they're sharing information with her and she's sharing information back. And so they're really able to collaboratively treatment plan for someone's success long term. To think like, okay, you've got this when you're doing PE and I'm going to handle their housing issue and this legal issue. She can share a great story from a couple of years ago, I remember, where they addressed a housing issue while someone was waiting for treatment And the person ended up getting the housing they needed and then completing treatment, which was just phenomenal. They might not have even been able to engage in treatment had they not had housing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. I know you guys already know that a lot better than I do. So that's something we've been really focused on each week. Brandy, in your prep call, you were talking about some training sessions you do where you have the people just say the word suicide, that don't even want to say it. Is that hard to discuss? I guess it is hard to discuss, isn't it?
Yeah, it really can be. So one of the really cool things about case management is not only are we there providing the intervention, but we're also out in the community providing kind of that prevention education. And one of those things that we do is teach mental health first aid. Now, a few years ago, I'm not sure, exactly sure what date, but CVN was able to kind of field a survey and find out what Americans actually think about suicide. How can they, do they think to say it? Do they know how to ask it? And that survey showed that at least a little over a third, I think it was, of the respondents actually thought that we shouldn't ask that question and we shouldn't plant that seed and put it in people's minds. And so one of the things that we teach through mental health first aid is that you have to ask this question. You need to ask this question because you need to know the answer. You can't act as a catalyst to any kind of resources. You can't provide support if you don't know actually where they're at. And by asking this question is where we're learning, you know, are you thinking about suicide? Are you thinking about how you would do it? And have you made any steps towards acting on that plan? And so during this education course that we provide, we actually make people stand up and say it. We walk them through, are you thinking about suicide? And then we make them think about, are you thinking about how you would do it? And then we ask them about a plan. And we do all of this and then ask them to talk about, what did your body do? How did you feel? What were you thinking? All of these different kinds of things so that we know we can teach them how your body responds. We want you to be comfortable asking it. And we want you to pay attention to how you're responding and how you're presenting while asking that question, because your body language can very easily push an answer on people without meaning to. And so if they see that you're uncomfortable asking it, they're more likely to say no. And maybe that's not the honest answer. And so we just want them to practice and teach them to say it. For a lot of people, that's the first time they've ever said the word. And so it's really neat to kind of see people transition in that 8-hour course from being timid and not wanting to say it, being afraid of it, standing up and just saying it in front of everyone.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about when I was on active duty or not on active duty, but there's indicators sometimes of people that are going through depression. They're not talking to people. They're sort out by themselves. They don't want to talk. They're giving things away. I mean, there's indicators there that people are really struggling, and being able to just ask that question. I guess my answer is don't be afraid to ask that question. See how they're doing. See how they feel. See how they're reacting to whatever you're talking about. So,
absolutely. Go ahead.
Sorry. Part of that training and then part of things that we do every day in the clinic is, you know, looking across those four pillars, those thoughts, those feelings, those behaviors, that appearance. What changes are we seeing and how are we noticing those changing? And that kind of gives us an idea of, are they, you know, potentially experiencing a mental health challenge, or are they kind of turning that course into crisis? And so we're constantly watching that and teaching that so that people are more aware and can understand.
Yeah. Claire, do you want to say something?
I was just going to add to that, that the mental health first aid courses that Brandy is teaching are just one of many psychoeducation courses that our case managers are able to provide in the different communities where we have clinics. One of the others that we're very happy to have going in many of our clinics is a group for transitioning military service members. So folks that are going from active duty to veteran status, because that is one of the highest risk times for folks for suicide, because yeah. You're losing a lot of the resources that you've had ready access to. You had healthcare, you had housing, you had basic income, you had education, and all that's going away. So this is a time where providing some support and providing some education on how to access resources in your local communities is so essential. And all of our clinics are able to offer a psychoeducation course that is able to walk folks through this. And that's another way to start getting connected to the clinic, getting care that they need to help them through just also the mental health components of that transition.
Well, that spouse has a big play in that too. I mean, the spouses are going to know if there's a problem or an issue way before anybody else, I would think. Either one of you can answer that question. Claire, do you want to answer that question? How much is the spouse involved, Jeff?
So spouses are involved as much as the veteran or the active duty service member wants them to be involved. We do not require either the veteran or the active duty service member to participate in care for a spouse to get care. So I think, you know, the old adage is it's, you know, oh, my wife drug me in to get care and now I have to come, right? But I
actually
think...
Well, that's true, isn't it? No.
I mean, less so now, I would say. I think that for the most part, you know, we've done a lot of great work as a country recognizing mental health as being just as important as physical health. And while we do still have folks that will come saying, well, my spouse threatened to divorce me if I didn't start getting care. We do also have folks that are seeking care themselves and then bringing their families along, knowing that they need the support from their families to really get the most benefit out of their treatment.
I've been married a long, long time, probably longer than you guys have been alive. But the fact of the matter, I tell my wife or my spouse a lot of stuff I probably wouldn't tell anybody else. And she's really a good sounding board for me. So if I'm not feeling well or something's bothering me, and she's the same way. If she's not feeling well, she has a problem. So we sort of go back and forth. And I think it was a good channel for me. I would imagine it's a good channel for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Brandy, I think something, you know, and I'll let Brandy speak to this as well, but I think something that we often see folks coming in for, particularly with couples, is that one person in the couple is taking on a lot of that. And the other person, maybe because of their mental health, is not able to be as equally supportive or equally receptive to information. So being able to support them in terms of balancing that out as best you can is something that we're really happy to be able to do. But Brandy can speak to that from a more personal perspective.
All right, Brad, she's throwing it over to you. Go ahead. You want to say anything about it?
No.
You got the ball there. Go ahead.
I think for my family particularly, it's all about just support and making sure that, you know, I'm here and whatever you want to share, you're welcome to. I'm happy to listen as your wife. And, you know, like kind of being very clear of, I'm your wife, I'm here, and I want to support you, and I love you, and I care about you. You don't have to be afraid to share. I think that is a kind of a big one in kind of a relationship where one was an active duty or is an active duty soldier and maybe experienced some, you know, war-related trauma. You know, it is a fear of, you know, having their spouse think of them differently, look at them differently, or, you know, just kind of a fear of scaring the spouse. And so having that open mind and saying, I'm here for you and whatever you went through, you know, you can share, but you don't have to if you're not comfortable, but no, you're not going to scare me. I care about you. And what you have seen or done doesn't change who you are to me.
Yeah, I got to tell you a quick story. I remember one time I went home to my wife and I told her something about a service man. I said, I can't believe that guy is doing this kind of things. That's sort of crazy. She looked at me and said, well, you've did that before. You know, I was like, I mean, I fell off the chair. So, well, so what? That's a little bit different. No. Hey, this is a great conversation. I don't want to do it, but they're going to make me do it. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about some of the most common problems faced by veterans and families. So don't go anywhere. Please stay right there. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. Right? If you're enjoying this discussion, I know you are because we're talking about the lives of our military, our veterans, our families, and the people that sometimes need help, just like all of us, me, you, and everybody else. Here's a place for you to go to sit down and talk to somebody that truly cares about you. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA,
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Claire Lawless and Brandi Salvatore from COIN Veteran Network. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing here on behalf of the veterans and families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're, you know, planning on getting rid of or some property you have no plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at theamericanfreedomfoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really appreciate your support. Brandi, we're back again here. I'm excited. What are some of the most common challenges veterans and their families face as you, as a case manager, that you can help them with?
Yeah, so that kind of varies depending on, you know, who it is that we're serving at the moment. If a veteran or an active duty, maybe it's disability benefits they're looking for and they're completely overwhelmed in that transition process. And so they just need someone that's just going to sit down and just talk to them with words, not acronyms, not timelines, just somebody that's going to sit with them and say, what do you need? Or what have you been through? What hurts, essentially? And so sometimes we're able to connect them with, you know, some wraparound services, whether it's through, you know, Wounded Warrior Project, where they can get employment assistance and disability assistance. Or if it's a spouse that's coming in and saying, you know what, I'm a little short on diapers this week. I need some help. And so we can connect them to the amazing places on base like ASYMCA. There's also, you know, the friendship piece. You know, that's a really big one that we see a lot of times within spouses because it is hard to move and make friends every 3 to 4 years or 2 to 4 years even.
Yeah.
And so friendships are really, really hard. So sometimes it's, hey, well, we have a groups program here where you can get to know some people. Or what about the USO that has the spouses connections every month? So helping them with that piece or childcare. One that we see a lot of is my kids need some in-school support. We really need some help. I think they might have ADHD or maybe, you know, even maybe a little bit on the spectrum for autism. And so helping them, guide them through how to ask those questions at PCM and how to get that referral and really guiding them through that process. Or maybe it's just the active duty soldier that says, I'm really having a hard time. I can't feed my family this month. I'm really struggling. And so at that point, we not only connect them with that food resource through the ASYMCA or off base, if that's what they prefer, but also sit down with them. You know, I also am a certified financial social worker. So I can sit down and talk with them about, you know, what are you doing? What are you spending your money on? What are some things that maybe you don't need? Maybe it's more of a luxury. So I can kind of help sit down with them and talk about those things as well. On a very surface level, when we're not digging really, really deep into finances, but there's really a big kind of wide spectrum of things that we can do and offset some of those costs and help them better be able to afford the things that are necessary.
Yeah. Brandi, our audience likes success stories. So for example, how does the case management services had made an impact? Can you give us some success stories about that?
Yeah, I have one that's kind of just a, it's kind of one of my mission moments that really kind of give you that light bulb aha moment, like, yeah, that's why I'm here. And so one of them that I can think of is we had someone that was in a very remote area of Alaska that just really needed help. And through our post-discharge kind of process, I had been following up with this person after care for about a year. And by the time I finally got to that 1 year mark, and I just kept, you know, kind of planting seeds and reminding them, hey, you know what, we're here, come back for a booster session, or, you know, case management, are you working, and all of these things. But just one of those people that just, I had that feeling in my gut that he just needed somebody to just be there and ask, are you okay? And by that year mark, I was able to reel them in. And they were like, you know what? I think I'm ready to get some help. And I'm like, all right, it's time. All hands on deck. We're not waiting. We are not playing games. Like you said the word, we're going full speed. And one really cool thing about our program and our network is that we play really well in the sandbox with a lot of our community partners. You know, we're all doing the same things. We're out here preaching the same things, having the same clients, but we're working together to serve those clients. We're not competing. And so that very same day, I was able to pick up the phone and I had Winded Warrior Project on standby. I had Alaska Warrior Partnership on standby. And so we were able to get this person out of the remote area into Anchorage and then actually even to the lower 48 to get some care, some elevated like residential care, came back here and did some partial hospitalization. And we were able to get them into that program, get them housing at the Fisher House, get them transportation to be able to go from the Fisher House to the partial hospitalization program. And then they ultimately were able to step down even more and come back here for outpatient care. During that course, also got this person disability benefits and back pay. We also got this person housing, got some adjustments to it, their housing in the remote area that were needed. Employment at a new place that kind of almost like their dream job. And so it was really a huge community-wide process that turned out with this really cool outcome.
Right. You know, I can tell just listening to you talk about it. You love your job. You love what you're doing. Just having the impact on one person, you made a difference. You know what I'm talking about? And you've probably touched so many lives and changed so many lives that you may not even know the amount of people that you've changed lives with. So hats off to you. Keep up the good work. You got me so motivated talking about this one person. A year is a long time, but you finally got him to come back to you and reach out for help. That's a heck of an accomplishment. Congratulations. It all goes back to trust. They trust you and know that you truly care about what you're doing each and every day.
And Claire, think about the pieces that she highlighted, right, when we talked about absolutely. Suicide, right? So it was housing. It was employment. It was a need for longer-term care. She addressed all of those things within her role. Those are not things that you would be addressing if you were just a therapist. And we were only doing therapy in our clinics. Because we have case management, we are in such a good position to address these pieces that sometimes just get overlooked because there's no one who's kindly and persistently asking, how can I help you?
You know, I got to say this too. You guys are a great team.
I love any chance to talk up the great work.
But you feed off of each other and you want to compliment each other. You want to help each other. And so, what a great team. You're the kind of team. Hey, I'm all for you guys. I'm going up. I'm going to just contact you tomorrow. I need some help. Help me out here. Hey, Claire, the needs of the veteran community changes as time goes. We all know that it's changed. I've been out of the Army 20 years. It's changed a lot since then. How has Cohen Veteran Network involved, adapted its services to meet, the current needs, the needs right now?
That's such a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So when I first came aboard about 9 years ago, we were very focused in terms of our training offerings specifically to things like PTSD. So it was, we're going to do prolonged exposure and cognitive processing therapy and CBT because our folks are going to come in with PTSD. That's going to be our bread and butter. And as things evolved and changed, and we actually started to see more family members, and our division of clients turned into about half and half, half veterans, half family members, and then we started seeing more kids, we realized that we needed to increase our training offerings for things like couples therapy, family therapy. Brandy mentioned ADHD with kiddos. Since the pandemic, our need for child services has skyrocketed. Because at this point, we're not talking about folks that are, really feeling trauma from a theater of war as much anymore. It's life. And life can be challenging and hard. She mentioned the active duty service members that need help with food. We have a lot of active duty service members on SNAP benefits because the pay that they get is just not enough to feed their families. So I think the thing that I've been most impressed by is how nimble our network has been able to be to meet the needs of the community as they've changed and just continue to evolve that. So, by focusing our efforts on, are we able to treat the whole family with everything they're coming in for? Or if we're not, do we have amazing case managers who can help route them to a clinic, maybe for things like an eating disorder that's going to be more specialized? Can we get them connected to that through a warm transfer process? So we're constantly looking at the data and the demographics of our clients to see, are we meeting the needs? And then each of our clinics also has a community stakeholder panel, which allows us to better understand, you know, really keep on the pulse of the local communities to understand, are we meeting your individual community needs? If not, what more could we be doing and how can we be supporting each other?
There's so much that you're doing that you're really making a tremendous difference. I'm sitting there thinking as you're talking, I was listening to everything you said, but I was thinking about myself when I came back years ago, probably over 40 years ago, 50 years back out of Vietnam. I've been telling people lately, I had anger issues for 3 to 5 years. I struggled to fit in. I didn't know. I'm glad. I can't even believe I ever got promoted in the military, but I had some serious issues that nobody identified. And I was able, I don't know how, but I was able to work out of those issues. And the way I worked out of those issues, because I talked to people. I talked to people around me. I talked to other first sergeants, sergeant first classes, whatever, whoever listened to me. And I was able to work out the issue. I don't know if I ever really worked out all of them. I still have some issues anyway. Everybody's got issues. But the fact of the matter, you have somebody like yourselves that are out there that are making a tremendous difference for the families each and every day. So I take my hat off, and I don't have no hair. I don't want to show nobody my bald head, you're making a heck of a difference. We need to take another quick break. I hate taking breaks. When we come back, though, I have a question that I want to ask each of you to answer. So stay right there. Don't go anywhere. I know you're not going to go anywhere. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Claire Lawless and Brandy Salvatore from Cohen Veterans Network, which does great work helping the mental health challenges faced by the military community. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, if I said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like to cover. You can call me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Before we go, there's one more thing I'd like to find out from each one of you. And Claire, you're going to be first. This is important. You're doing what you're doing. What drew you to this field in the first place, and how are you staying motivated?
Oh, that is a great question. My stepfather is an Army veteran. He served during the Vietnam era, but did not go to Vietnam. He didn't really reference being a veteran growing up, so it wasn't really in my head. My grandfather built Navy submarines during World War II, so he didn't deploy either. But I remember in the early 2000s, seeing a story about Walter Reed Hospital and the horrible conditions that our service members were facing when they returned from Iraq and Afghanistan, and just being fired up about that. Even if I wasn't a person who believed in war and all of that, I didn't believe that people who risk their lives and raise their hand to serve their country should be treated with anything but the best possible care when they came home. And that really just lit a fire in me. And I had a little bit of experience in mental health and decided this is what I want to do. So I went and got my degree in military social work and, you know, got all of this great training in terms of military cultural competency. It was out in California. I made friends with all these Marines at Pendleton. And that just kind of kicked off a love of working with this community because of the strong motivation to get better. I think that's something that really stands out to me about this community is these are not folks that want to sit on their laurels and sit in their depression or sit in their PTSD. They want to get better and they're willing to do the work to do that. And so supporting them and being able to build out as many resources and opportunities to help them as possible has just been a phenomenal, phenomenal time for me.
You know, everybody I've ever been associated with that either went into the Army or a spouse of the military always talked about one thing, how it changed their life. Being associated with the military changed them inside and made them really look at things a little bit differently. In the Army, I tell people all the time, I was a terrible young man before I came into the Army, but it made me grow. I'm probably still a terrible man, but the Army made me grow up, maybe see so many things that maybe I had not seen before. And the other thing it made me do is appreciate this country and the way of life that we sometimes take for granted. Brandy, same question.
Well, it's kind of funny. I didn't actually ever dream of being in this line of work.
Are you sure? I thought you did.
I had a whole career and whole different path before I married my husband. And so I was like many other spouses. I gave up my career that I worked so hard for before and had to rethink everything. Who am I? What am I going to do? You know, I'm a mom now, I'm a wife now, but there's something else in me and I don't know what it is. And so I went back to school and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll try out this social work stuff or psychology stuff is where I started. And I finished my psychology degree and then I started thinking again, well, now what? What am I going to do here? And so I went back and got my social work degree. And it just so happened that we were getting orders to be here right before I had to do my final internship. And, you know, there's not a lot of time to kind of settle into something, but I saw that we already had an agreement with Cohen Clinic at my college. So I'm like, guess that's where I'm going. And so I walk in day one completely out of my comfort zone because never pictured myself being in this kind of realm of work. I went into social work to maybe do some, you know, nonprofit food pantry kind of community work. And then I came in here and within a few weeks, I had the office manager at the time. I told her, put my name on that locker because I'm not leaving. I'm home. Like, I am not leaving. And so she did. And here I am 3 years later. And I instantly got to see the magic that happens inside these clinics. And it truly is magical to see people walk in and walk out that fast and just the changes in their appearance and the changes in how they carry themselves and the way they speak about themselves. And so it sucked me in and here I am. I can't imagine being anywhere else.
Yeah, well, I tell people that God put us on this earth to make a change somewhere, to make a difference somewhere in somebody's life. And you guys are certainly doing that. The other thing, Claire, I got to tell you this. I think we've influenced Brandy a little bit. Now she's talking with her hands a lot more here. So I think going through the show.
I know, I can't help it. Sorry, it's passing off to you, Brandy.
I'm trying to be on my best behavior. I'm a very big personality person. And so I'm trying to sit here proper and behave.
Well, they was talking a while ago. I said, what if we tied your hands down? I wouldn't be able to move. I wouldn't be able to talk.
I'll just wobble around.
if a family there might need some, you know, some support if they want to get a hold of you, is there a website or a phone number they can reach out?
Yes,
Claire,
there is.
Do you have a website? Yeah.
Yes. So our website is CohenVeteransNetwork.org and a number to reach us is 844-336-4226. That will take you to an information line that will route you to the appropriate clinic based on your location.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you, we've did a lot of shows. I have a lot of fun talking to people. You guys have really brightened my day up here today. It's been a great discussion because I know, just listen to you and talk to you a little while, I know that you care. You want to make a difference in the lives of so many, and you're making a difference in the lives of so many. So the people that are listening out there, if you're struggling a little bit, reach out to Cohen and and they'll help you out. Reach out to Claire and Brandy. They certainly will help you out. These are just two great people in a great organization that want to make a difference. I hate to say this, but any final thoughts, anything that maybe you want to reemphasize? We're going to start, I guess, with Claire. We'll start with you. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience? Maybe you want to reemphasize or maybe you want to say something different if you want to. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think just exactly what you were saying, you know, it's always good to reach out for help. You know, when you spoke about talking to your friends, not everybody has that strong military community when they transition out, depending on where they go. And it's so important to find places where you can seek help and seek to be understood. And our clinics are wonderful communities that provide such great services. And you get to meet wonderful people like Brandy if you come and get services with us. So please don't hesitate to reach out. We would love to help you.
Oh, Brandy, she just gave you a drum roll right there. Wonderful people. Go ahead, Brandy. How about you? Go ahead, Brandy. Anything you want to say? Any final thoughts? Anything you want to share? Again, you both have done a tremendous job. Go ahead, Brandy.
Thank you. And thanks, Claire. Of course, I'm just one of a big piece of a big puzzle. You know, there's lots of us that are just like me and out there just, you know, driving home, doing all the things that we can do for the people that we serve and the people that we love. But one thing that we didn't get to mention, and I just kind of wanted to bring it up, is, you know, we always talk about we're barrier-free care. And that means a realm of things, obviously, in the front of the house in terms of, you know, how you can get your therapy. But also we're breaking down a lot of barriers in terms of providing care, as in, you know, during block leave, for instance, is a great example, is, you know, when people are traveling out of state, they can't always continue therapy with their clinician because of state laws and licensures and all of this kinds of things. And so we really put our heads together and say, how can we serve people that can't have their therapy with their licensed clinician in the area, but it's too temporary to hook them up with someone else where they're at?
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with this Lunch and Learn, this winter mental health series. And anyone from anywhere can attend. All they have to do is get that Zoom link, register, and pop in the day of. And we run it for about 17 weeks, 3 months, from November through, I think it was actually, we ran it through February. And we're going to continue to run that again this year, to where it's just different topics of, you know, what am I going through? Why am I like this? What's happening to me? Do I have depression? Do I have anxiety? How do I handle my child that is struggling with things like ADHD? And so there's all these really cool topics from our amazing clinicians that put them together. And so continue watching our social medias, because that will be popping up again. And it really is an awesome way for people to learn about mental health, understand what they're going through, and still get a little bit of support while they're not able to necessarily see their weekly therapist.
Oh, that sounds like a great program. You guys are doing such a great job, and you're making such a big difference. I just, not just for me, but all the, you know, probably all the service members, soldiers, family members, everything else. I just want to thank you for what you're doing. And thanks for taking the time, because I know you're busy, taking the time to come on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
us.
Thanks again to Claire Laws and Brandy Salvatore from Goin Veteran Network for being with us. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org. And while you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we're here to help you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Claire and Brandy for joining us today. And I think they said it all. Here's an organization, Goin Veteran Network, that cares so much about our veteran community, about our families, about the people that maybe live next door, that want to make a difference in the lives of all of us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have problems, don't keep it to yourself. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to them and talk to them and let them sit down and talk to you and tell you or just help you a little bit, maybe point you in the right direction or maybe just listen to you. You know, a little while ago, I talked about myself, about the fact that I struggled when I come back. I didn't have anybody. I didn't have anybody to talk to. And so for 3 to 5 years, I really, really struggled. And for the grace of God, I was able to come out of that. But everybody, you, me, and everybody else, in some time in your life, you need help. And just don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to say, hey, look, as strong as you are and as good as you are, reach out to somebody. And even if it's a hug or a handshake or whatever it is, but you're not by yourself. There's people there again that love you. If you're needing help or having any difficulties coping with your transition or any other mental health challenges, please reach out to the Suicide and Crisis Line by dialing 988, and someone will talk to you. Thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studios, and of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.